Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Going to take a little different approach today to what we're going to be chatting about. I have Mayor David Rubin on the line with me right now. David was the mayor of a town called Shiloh in the West Bank. We're going to talk a little bit about what the Israelis are doing right now to keep themselves safe in terms of the virus. And then we're going to get into a much, much bigger topic, which has to do with attitudes of people around the world, how if they emulate to an extent what the Israelis have been doing going all the way back to the 1940s to stay positive. David, how are you this morning?
Well, I'm about as good as everybody. Al, we're meeting the challenges.
Well, we have to meet challenges. You guys have been meeting challenges, as have a lot of people in the world right now, for a long, long time. You put out a press release, David, relating to attitudes about this coronavirus. Before we get into that, I would like to ask you, sir, one simple question, and that is critical, in my opinion, for Israel not to have any type of pandemic, epidemic, whatever you want to call it. You folks have to stay healthy. How are you doing that? Right now, you have no cases of the virus, and you have, obviously, since you have no cases, Dave, you have no deaths either. How have you folks accomplished that?
Well, first of all, let's get the facts on the ground, okay? Israel does have cases of the virus. At this point, there are about 450 people who have been diagnosed with the coronavirus. There have not been any deaths yet, that's true. And we are taking on the challenge like we take on any challenge. You know, we've had the challenge of war, and we've had the challenge of terrorism, and we've had it in an ongoing basis. It's not like in the United States you have a real war that everyone feels maybe once every 50 years. Mm-hmm. In Israel, we have wars, we have existential wars every few years, and then it's ongoing in between the wars, the missiles flying, the terrorism, the terror attacks on civilians. This is an ongoing thing. So what does Israel do when we have to deal with the challenges of war and terrorism at its peaks? And what do we do in confronting a scourge like this coronavirus, mm-hmm. which we are facing just like the rest of the world? So that's the real question here. What do you do, and how do you do it?
Okay. What do you do, what are you doing, and how are you doing it, Mayor?
Well, first of all, it's a matter of discipline. When a war breaks out in Israel, everyone goes into war mode. Everyone goes into emergency mode immediately, and everyone unites. That's the number one issue, uniting. Okay, we put all the political battles to the side, and there are a lot of political battles in Israel. There are differences between the right and the left, and the religious and the non-religious, and you name it, we got it.
Yep.
And there are even sometimes ethnic issues. But what it comes down to is that when we go into emergency mode, everyone is in this together. We're all in this together. We understand it. And we put all the political and other battles to the side. That's number one. Number two, We do everything that needs to be done. We follow instructions. That's what you do in war, and that's what you do in a time of war. And this is a time of war.
Yep.
I just heard President Trump state that very clearly at a press conference. And I agree wholeheartedly. This is a war. And we have to face it like we would face a war, with discipline, following instructions, standing together, putting all the petty battles to the side, and pursuing this battle together. That's what it's all about.
You know, I'm not seeing that happen quite yet in the United States, and there's really no point in getting off on that topic unless you'd like to opine on that. But we have such serious division in the United States right now. I actually, David, I was watching the news last night. I was watching Tucker Carlson, and he actually made me very, very depressed because he was talking about how our country is definitely not coming together at this moment in time. As I'm sure you are aware, politically, we are screaming at each other. We are angry at each other. From a societal standpoint, our leaders have basically told all law enforcement officials not to, number one, to let convicted criminals out of jail, number one, and number two, to not get involved with petty arrests. Only very, very serious crimes in the United States are now even put into the hands of the police. I find that to be absolutely appalling, David. How do you feel about that? How can society exist in a manner like that?
Well, look, here in Israel, we're a very resilient people.
Yes, you are.
We continue to go about everything as much as we possibly can in our day-to-day lives. We expect our leadership to do what needs to be done, as they would be doing anyhow. And of course, when you're in war mode, there are some things, some minor issues, I'm not saying they're not important, that do get put to the side temporarily. But in terms of division, as I said, and I can't emphasize it enough, and by the way, I know about the divisions in the United States very well. Okay, I'm not sure if you've read my book, Trump and the Jews, but I wrote quite a bit about those divisions between left and right. People need to be standing together in a time of war when life and death is what it's all about. And that's all I really have to say about that. People need to be standing together.
We've been saying that on the show, David, just for what it's worth, ever since December when we began to cover the virus situation. I find it very interesting that the leaders of our country don't seem to be standing together right now. And I don't want to get off on a tangent. You have held a community in the West Bank together very effectively. As a leader of that community, we're going to take a real quick commercial break here, David. And what I would like you to chat about is how you did that in the past, because standing together right now, in my opinion, is what absolutely has to be done, not only in the United States, but in all countries around the world. Unfortunately, we have serious political divisions right now that, compared to the tribulations, I guess, and that may not be a strong enough word, that you folks have faced for years and years and years, the political bickering that's going on in the United States seems pretty minuscule. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. Big Al's going to be right back with Mayor David Rubin.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with David Rubin. This interview is very important to me. Mayor Rubin's message, I think, is something that people in the United States, certainly every one of our listeners and every person who he can reach, has a point that is absolutely critical, in my opinion, and that is you simply have to stand together. Mayor Rubin, I'd like you to elaborate on that, if you would. Thank you.
Certainly. Well, let me just give you a little bit of background, okay? I, as you alluded to, I was the mayor of the town of Shiloh in, as you said, the West Bank. Really, the proper geographical term is Samaria, mm-hmm. which is in the heart of Israel. It's in the mountainous region of Israel, the biblical heartland, I call it, because that's the historical region where a lot of the biblical stories took place. So having said that, you can understand what Shiloh is, okay? Shiloh is a city, it was the capital city where there was a lot of division. Okay, it comes from, for those of your viewers, listeners, know what the book of the book of Judges is all about in the Bible, where it talks about how there was no king in Israel and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now, about 18 years ago, I was wounded in a terrorist attack.
Along with one of your children, if I'm not mistaken.
My then three-year-old son, I was shot in the leg, he was shot in the head. And in fact, the bullet that went into his head and through his neck missed his brainstem by 1 millimeter. Okay, this was a terrorist attack by the terrorist wing of the Palestinian Authority. And we survived the attack, thank God. But after that attack, I realized that as a result of the miracles that we experienced in surviving that attack, I said, I have to do something. I have to give something back. And I started the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund for the purpose of healing the trauma of the terror victim children here in the biblical heartland of Israel. And what I did was I established a therapeutic educational program to heal the trauma of terror victim children. Now, having said that, and getting back to your original question, the book of Judges, there was great division in the land of Israel. That was the time that the Israelites were in Shiloh. Shiloh is how we call it in Hebrew. So we had a lot of division. And when 11 years after the Six-Day War, in 1967, when we started rebuilding Shiloh again as a capital city, but as a place of dwelling once again, there was a lot of division. There were people pulling in every direction. Everyone wanted to have this project and that project and pursue this, and you know, everyone had different ideas of how to rebuild Shiloh. That was 1978, 1980s, into the early 1990s. Then 2001, I had that terrorist attack. I was, as I said, I was wounded with my three-year-old son. I started the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund. And then I said, okay, I said, you guys, the Almighty has placed a vision in my hands. After the horrible experience that we went through, there is a chance to rebuild Shiloh, to rebuild the biblical heartland of Israel. And in order to do that, we have to be working together. There is no way this is going to succeed if we're not working together. And thank God, it took a while, but people started to come together, and now everyone is working together on behalf of the children who have suffered so much from the terrorism, who have suffered so much from the war. And I'm telling you, Al, that in a time like this, where people are suffering from the coronavirus, yes, we're in Israel as well, but in the States, all around the world, people are suffering, and children are suffering. Children are going to be traumatized if they're not traumatized already from this. And we have the way of dealing with it. We have the way of dealing with their trauma through the work of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund. You can find out more by going to the website, shilohisraelchildren.org. But the general answer is for everyone to come together and understand what an enemy is. In this case, the enemy isn't the Arab terrorist organizations. In this case, the enemy is a disease, is a virus that we have to confront. And anytime you're confronting an enemy, you have to stand together. And that's what it's all about, Al. And so that's been my experience in the town of Shiloh, in the biblical heartland of Israel. But I think that there are lessons that everyone can learn from.
I want to make a couple of closing comments here. We've got about a minute and a half left, which in radio time is for almost forever. But I want to say I'm going to post again information on the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, shilohisraelchildren.org. These are very, very wise statements that you are making. I love your source, the Book of Judges. I have probably read the Old Testament as much as you have, David. The difference is I've also read the New Testament rather substantially. At a time like this, it is critical that all of us take Mayor David Rubin's advice. We have been saying that on the show. Now we have a spokesperson in Mayor David Rubin. Working together is the only way to solve any problems. I appreciate the fact, Mayor Rubin, that you brought out as your example of the wonderful Book of Judges in the Old Testament. I want to wish you all the best in the future. Obviously, hopefully we will continue this conversation whenever there is something that you would like our listeners to be aware of. I have a close relationship with your publicist now, and so I will tell that person again. Please make sure you keep us up to speed on Mayor David Rubin. Ladies and gentlemen, we have had a lot of guests on our program giving advice as to how to deal with the coronavirus in the United States. I have to say, this advice from David Rubin is far and away the best that Big Al has heard.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in, Tom, for the second hour of the Corlin Economics Report. You know, I have to tell you, in the first hour, David Rubin, who is a former mayor of Shiloh back in Israel, is one of the most interesting people I have ever talked with. And I have to tell you, pay attention to what Mayor Rubin had to say in the second segment of the first hour. They are really doing everything they can to assist children, not just in Israel, but in the Middle East, although they really focus on the West Bank, which is where he was the mayor. Having said that, you think that was an interesting story. We have one coming on right now that, I mean, I'm laughing because, you know, it's just blind luck. We got probably one of the most interesting stories that's happening in America today, unless you want to hear about Joe Biden and the rest of the clowns. This is about real people who are really doing something to help humanity. Have a fellow on the line by the name of Steve Shriver. Steve is back in the Midwest. He, along with the assistance of a friend of his, are manufacturing a hand sanitizer and giving it away free to anybody who drives through their facility. They've given away over 1,000 of these things so far already. Jimmy, I got to tell you, as listeners are aware, you and I are neighbors. I don't see anything like that going on around here, man. Why don't you go out and buy 10 cases of sanitizers and help your neighbors?
Better yet, let's see if we can get the materials to build it. Hey, Steve, so...
there you go. Anyway,
to make all, it, that's...
all kidding aside, these guys are really doing mankind a service right now. They're doing it, Steve is doing it in conjunction with a friend of his who owns a distillery in the area, and it's called Cedar Ridge. Why don't you take it from here, Jimmy, and let's talk about what Steve is doing, okay?
Yeah, fantastic. Steve, we were just interested. So explain to me kind of a little bit of just very briefly about your background in this relationship with Cedar Ridge Distillery and Jess Quint and Dr. Ryan Sinderman at the ER there in your area.
Sure. So I founded a company called EcoLips, and we are an organic lip balm company. We sell into 12,000 retailers across the United States. You know, we're in small little co-ops, and we're in most of the Walmarts. So I'm a capitalist, and I sell products for a living, but the idea is that we want to sell good products. So I also own another company called Soco Outfitters, and Dr. Ryan Sunderman is my partner, and we're trying to order, you know, hand sanitizer for our employees and our customers, and just couldn't find it anywhere. And, you know, we said, well, you know, we know how to make stuff. Let's order the stuff to make it. And then we couldn't find that anywhere online or local. So, Ryan, Dr. Sunderman said, don't you know the guy out at Cedar Ridge? And I said, yeah, you know, I do. And 5 minutes later, I'm on the phone with him, and we met that afternoon. And this is a week later, and now we've made about 5,000 bottles up until this point, and we're continuing on. So, you know, lip balm company meets a distillery. None of us have ever really made hand sanitizer before, but together we had the ingredients to make this happen.
And you have a doctor who's a partner who can keep you guys straight in terms of the correct way to do this. And Stephen, I'm not telling you you're stupid and you don't know how to do this. I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying this at all, man. But there is strength in numbers, and I know since it's a topical, it does not have to be taken internally. I know that you don't have to get the federal government involved in terms of the FDA and the rest of it. So let me ask you a question now. We got about 4 minutes left to go. We're going to devote the whole hour of the second hour of KER Politics to what you guys are doing, because I think it's, you know, people talk about gloom and doom. They talk about bad things. They talk about, you know, the virus that's going on right now. They talk about, you know, in inflammatory terms, they talk about people who are doing things bad right now throughout the world. We talk about people who are doing things good. And Mr. Shriver, I have to tell you, you are very, very seriously doing something really good. So
Thank you. You've
given away about 5,000 packages of hand sanitizers, correct?
Correct, yep.
So, hey, Steve, how did you get through some of those hoops, the regulatory hoops that are out there?
We
all lived that. So please, explain.
Right. So, I didn't want to ramble, but basically, initially, you know, we said, we kind of just said, screw the laws. Like, people are in need. We're getting, as soon as I put something out online that said, who needs hand sanitizer? And not only did thousands of civilians need them, I'm getting calls from police departments, fire departments, emergency services, hospitals, and that's how big this thing is. So once last week when we started this, it was like, I don't care what the laws are, we're making hand sanitizer and we're going to give it out because people need it right now.
Good on you.
thankfully, yeah, and then thankfully, we actually got tweeted by somebody who was one of our governors noticed that we were doing it and tweeted, and then we said, well, shoot, we would like to be abiding by the laws, so let's get a hold of her and Joni Ernst, and so we got a hold of her, and then a couple days into that conversation, Grassley actually worked with, I don't know the exact logistics of this, but then an email goes out to all of the distillers, and it basically says, you know, the acting administrator of the alcohol and tobacco tax has found that it's necessary to waive provisions in internal revenue law with regard to distilled spirits. And basically the law has been changed. So you will see after this, you will see a bunch of distilleries launching hand sanitizer because it is now, we are that desperate in this country for this.
That is fantastic. That shows that the administration actually and Congress and, you know, members of our leadership here, they're actually taking pretty swift action to change things to help people out. That's a very, very good story.
Yeah, it blew me away. And, you know, yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was going to, real quick, you know, we work tightly with the FDA at Ecolips. And, you know, the last thing I want to do is do anything wrong. We get audited enough and we make, you know, we take pride in that. And so we are making this off-site, but this actually gives us the authority to do this work at Ecolips. What they're saying is this is a crisis and you do what you got to do to get it done.
Well, that's fantastic. How much can you produce in a given day at this point? And can you expand that?
Right. So we let's see here. I think right now we're doing, 50 gallons a day. We're gearing up next week. We're going to go, we're going to try to do 100 gallons a day and see how that goes.
What are your precursor materials? Yeah. Oh, go ahead, please finish.
Yeah. It's very simple. I mean, we're talking about the alcohol, which is obviously, we're talking about a high grade grain alcohol, water, to dilute it down and also to mix with the xanthan gum, and which is a thickener, and then we're using glycerin and lavender essential oil to make it smell good and be kind of soothing. We're going to use hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah, one of our listeners, let me just finish this up because we've got to cut for a break here real quick. Yep. One of our listeners, who's a retired tenured professor, physics professor at Purdue University, basically talked about this with us here just a couple of days ago. Folks, we're going to be right back with a real American, Steve Shriver. Jimmy and I have probably the best human interest story that I have ever covered in my entire radio career. Jimmy and I are talking with Steve Shriver. Steve and his wife own a company called Ecolips. If you just heard the prior segment, which I'm sure that you did, they have now manufactured, along with some of their friends, a hand sanitizer. There is no problem in terms of the government in giving this away free because of the national emergency, and they are in the process of doing that right now. Starting next week, they will be putting together 100 gallons a day of the sanitizer and distributing it for zero. Talk about a good American boy. Davy Crockett was my hero. Now it's Steve Shriver. Jimmy, take it away for a second, will you?
Oh, Steve, so we were talking a little bit back there about, you know, how you produce it. and some of the precursor materials. And we talked about the government stepping in very rapidly to change the regulations in order to support you, which is fantastic to see the administration, the Trump administration, as well as local representatives stepping out to do this. Who right now is needing this most in your community? You mentioned hospitals and law enforcement or first responders. Yeah, could you talk about that a little bit?
You know, it's been pretty crazy. So first of all, individuals reached out like crazy, and you know, I'm like, okay, there's a definite need, and there's no hand sanitizer on retail store shelves. And also, by the way, nobody wants to go to the store to buy it because of our social distancing. So I started compiling a list. We've got we've had a lot of shelters, a lot of homeless shelters, et cetera, that need the product. We have been contacted by a lot of health professionals, hospitals, police departments, and they're saying, hey, our officers, the ambulance organizations, they're out all day long and they don't always have an opportunity to wash their hands, and they are out of hand sanitizer. So the struggle is real.
Yeah, I was just at the store this morning. I actually retired military. I was down at the commissary, Whidbey Island Naval Station, and the line was 50 people deep, 6 feet apart to get in at 9 o'clock in the morning to go in. And we were just, my daughter and I, just to get a little bit, walked in, and all the hand sanitizer, all the toilet paper were all completely gone. And of course, that's on a controlled base. So I know that other places out here in the community are facing really,
so here's
really
the best
big challenges.
Part of this. Right. The best part of the story is with Dr. Sunderman, we said, how do we do this and not have a mass congestion of people, infecting each other? And we said, all right, we got to do a drive through. So we set up a drive through at Nouveau City Market, a one way drive through in conjunction with the Cedar Rapids Police Department, helped us direct traffic. And at 10 a.m. yesterday, we had 300 cars lined up for block and block. Right.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Before we even. Right. And we literally, one by one, they open their window and we put a free hand sanitizer in their car. They drive off. And we're talking, a lot of them, there were a couple that said, hey, I'm a cancer patient. They were obviously some elderly folks, a lot of people with immune deficiencies, and they were just so thankful for this.
That's really good. That's actually incredibly heartening to hear these types of stories. How big of a radius do you cover? How far out are people coming in? Do you know from Cedar Rapids?
Right. So, I mean, the furthest that I know somebody drove for sure was 60 miles, but I get the feeling that it's a broader reach because now this is the real part of this that I've been contacted from Atlanta to Montana. And so because of that, and this is, I hope it doesn't ruin your story. We're saying we're going to keep giving it away for free. If you come here, are you going to go through our drive through? But we're going to start probably launching this stuff by the gallon because we were fast to act and we have it, and we're probably going to start selling it next week by the gallon. Not huge profit, not price gouging, but we do have cost of covers if we're going
large scale. Well, sure you do. Sure like you that. Do. Of course you do. There's no question about that. You know, I think this. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that people make movies out of. And as I told you when we were off mic, I mean, this is probably the first place that this story has been heard from. And I want to say that you get your publicist to get you on Fox because they'll eat this up.
Right.
I mean, we're eating it up. Yep. We think it's great. I'm a very avid football fan. I love the University of Washington Huskies, but you know what? The Hawkeyes are now my second favorite team. Iowa Hawkeyes.
Right.
Anyway, so you guys just you guys were just kind of sitting around drinking bourbon one afternoon and thought, what can we do to help humanity? And you came up with this idea. On a serious note, how did you come up with this, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't much. It wasn't far from that. When you see, and this is where we never talked about charging a penny because it was so obvious that there's a shortage. And he's got the alcohol, I've got the chemistry and the other materials, and together we have the labor and the facilities to do it. There was no question. Let's do it.
Well, with backing like Senator Ernst and of course, Chuck Grassley, You're gonna change things very rapidly, and of course the demand's gonna be up. And as you talked about other in the previous segment, that a lot of people are gonna be freed up to do this, and the national need is so important, so valuable. And of course, yep. You know, look, the Kimberly, you know, Charmin are making a fortune right now, so we are capitalists, and we do support that. So, but giving that's away right. for your local community and the folks there that really need it, that's really valuable. And then whoever buys it can do what they wish with it.
Right.
That's pretty important.
Yeah, with Ecolift, so we're a B corporation. The B stands for benefit, so we always try to. I mean, it's people, planet, and profit. And so 99% of what we do is people, planet, and profit. So profit is a key part of it, because then we can give it away. But this particular joint venture, I'm dropping the P, and it's like the third P, which is, you know, now it's just about the people and the planet, and we gotta save ourselves here, you know?
Yeah, this is important for everyone to understand. So Dr. Sunderman, Ryan Sunderman, he's working in the ER. Is he seeing in your area? Is he seeing a lot of issues? Is it tough for him?
Well, we don't have a single case of a resident in Linn County with COVID yet. Now he's definitely doing a lot of screening, and he's sending off a lot of tests, but we haven't had a confirmed case yet. And my hope is that we don't. Now, I mean, 10 miles south we do, so. But he's in meetings all day long. It's why he's not here right now. And he's saving people's lives directly. My hope is that with, you know, in conjunction with all the right smart stuff, washing their hands and our sanitizer and people being isolated, that we could potentially be one of the few counties in Iowa that doesn't, or in the United States that doesn't have a case.
Well, you know, Steve, I got to tell you, and Jimmy can verify this, I'm pretty sure, but we are... You know, it's interesting that we're talking to you, because my wife right now, she's one of the, I'm 76, man, and she's 70, and she's also in dialysis 3 days a week. So she's, yeah, so she's in the club, but she's a real fighter. But let me tell you, she's the oldest of, six children, and all the others were boys. I feel sorry for them, man. I bet you just knocked them around on an hourly basis. But anyway, having said that, we're very concerned, me because of my age and her because of her, I guess I'll euphemistically use the word fragile health, but it really isn't fragile. But here in the county, Whatcom County, Washington, Jimmy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we've got only 7 cases, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that is true. We don't have very many cases. And, no. Of course, we're just up the street from where it all started there in Kirkland. You know, we're just a couple hours north of Kirkland. Mm-hmm. But the community here, my next door neighbor's a doctor. They've stopped testing because unless they have severe enough symptoms, because it just doesn't make much sense at this point.
No.
And so you don't know exactly. And so it's a very big question of how this thing's going to flow through. It's very encouraging to see some treatments that are already being tested, and again, these regulations being dropped to do it. It's great to see all of America, whole of America, business, government, private sector, people getting involved to really address and attack this thing. This is exactly what we're all about.
We're all about this.
You guys, I don't mean to cut you off. We're going to be out of time here in 11 seconds. I'm going to put up as much material on this on our website as I possibly can.
Hey, and Al, ecolips.com and crwine.com, Cedar Ridge Winery and Distillery. Yeah, take a look at them.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.